From the White House of Talk, you're listening to Tom McConnell on News Talk 610 CKTV and online at 610CKTV.com. Now available in high definition. Call Tom McConnell now at 905-688-CKTV, 1-877-610-CKTV, or #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. And now, Tom McConnell.
1007. A couple of months ago, we were joined by nutritional consultant, healthy living advocate, and author Pam Colleen discussing her new book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, and Pam joins us again this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you?
I'm great this morning. How are you doing?
I am so well. It's a terrific day today.
Good to hear. Yes, it's wonderful. I hope that rain doesn't show up, though.
Well, I mean, we need rain, though. Rain?
Yeah, we do. We do. We just had too much, though, I think.
Yeah.
Our strawberries are suffering. I mean, you know, the farmers can't be terribly happy.
No, I mean, and here it's all about, I mean, we'll get into your thoughts in a second, but I mean, this is almost like when we talk about a person, you know, rain is essential, sunshine is essential, good soil is essential. These all provide the basis of for plants, at least the basis of a healthy plant, and for us as well. You know, we need balanced foods. We need we need natural foods. We need things that are not overly processed. We need them, though, in balance. That is, we see too much rain is not good, just like too much of any food, probably not good for us. We think of rain as, oh, you know, all the farmers need rain, but we need the right amount of rain. We just can't have too much rain or too little rain. We need the right amount of rain, just like people need the right amount of vitamins, nutrition, macronutrients. They need a balance in their diet as well.
Well, that's a great analogy, you know, and you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, what's happened in the last 50 to 100 years is we're just not getting the right nutrients. So, in essence, we may be eating, and the grocery stores may look full, but we're starving ourselves at the same time. So it's quite a paradox, and unfortunately, because we have this illusion of getting nutrition, because we have this illusion that we have plenty of food out there, it gives us a false sense of security. We're actually... many of us, millions of us, are actually suffering with malnutrition. And we go day by day eating, you know, once or twice or three times a day or whatever people are doing, grabbing the wrong foods. So we're stuffing ourselves and starving ourselves at the same time.
You know, what's interesting is when we look at the food situation in the world today, and you go back, you know, 50 and 100 years, and we look and compare it to the grocery store today, where economists, where I look at charts and studies and graphs, and we look at the average basket of food in terms of what it costs the family. And it used to be we spent 25% of our income on food. And now we spend an amazingly low amount, 10% of our income's on food. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's worse food. That at the same time, food has gotten cheaper, and the grocery store and calories are cheaper than ever, and we're just choosing the wrong stuff. We're just choosing crap.
I'm so glad you brought that up, and this is what I teach in my classes, is that, you know, we're really spoiled today with regards to the cost of food. Unfortunately, we're paying a huge cost for this very cheap food, and we're paying costs at many levels, whether it's ecological, environmental, or nutritional. We are paying a huge cost. It's not to our best interest to pay this cheap price for this very cheap food. And unfortunately, you know, when I educate people and I motivate them to buy food from local farmers, it's too bad that the more nutrient dense, higher quality foods do cost more money, but it really, they're very much worth it. In fact, when I motivate people to go to local farmers to buy their food, I tell them to tip their farmer, because we want to keep them in business. We need them out there in order to supply us with higher quality foods than the grocery stores can provide us.
Pam, let me ask you, when you look at, and you do a lot of what's called on your website, nutritional balancing, and you've written and talked about it a lot, where are we out of balance? What do we eat too much of, and what do we eat not enough of?
Well, in simple terms, what's happened is we eat too many carbohydrates. We eat far too many plant-based foods in general.
Well, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone out there is thinking, too many plant-based foods? That's what everything I've been told. Get away from animal fats, get away from animal products. You got to go more plant. We need more plants in our diet.
That's absolutely the wrong way to think. And we have been totally misled by our dietary dictocrats, by Health Canada, by nutritionists, by dietitians. Unfortunately, we have been totally misinformed on that issue because, and this is just as clear as day, because as we have been increasing our plant-based foods in our diet, of course, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind. What we have done, we have displaced the more nutrient-dense animal foods and replaced them with less nutrient-dense foods. The plant-based foods are nowhere near as nutrient-dense as animal foods. So, for example, over the last 100 years, what we've seen is the rise of the edible oil industry. So we've seen the rise of things like margarines and spreads and canola and soybean oils and all of these things, which are nowhere near as nutritious for us as things like butter and lard. And so we have really been led astray, and not only in the fats and the oils, but also with regards to our increasing consumption of everything from grains, fruits, and vegetables.
Now, when we talk about plant-based foods, and you talk about edible oils, and are we eating just too many starches, for instance, potatoes and grain products, or is there a proper place for, I guess, more nutritionally dense? No, a potato has some nutrition, but basically it's a lot of starch versus some like broccoli, which seems to be this wonderful cruciferous vegetable, which everyone's like, oh, you can't get enough broccoli.
You know, broccoli is okay, but one has to remember that vegetables in general are relatively new in our diet. For 99.5% of our history, we were hunter-gatherers, and we didn't rely heavily on plant-based foods. If we had, our brains would never have developed, all right? And since we've become more and more dependent on plant-based foods, of course, over the last 100 years, our brains are actually shrinking. So, to develop into the thinking, sentient beings that we are, we needed to have plenty of animal foods in our diet to supply us with some very key nutrients to allow for our brains to develop. And so when you mention things like broccoli is okay. Fruits and vegetables are okay. They're fine to have in our diet, but you just don't want to eat too many of them. And certainly where broccoli is concerned, of course, you don't want to eat your cruciferous vegetables raw. You want to make sure that they're cooked and, of course, slathered on with lots of butter.
Okay, hold on a second. Why do I have to cook them? Why can't I just have them with delicious ranch dressing as a dip? Why do I have to cook certain vegetables?
Plants actually have poisons in them in order to protect themselves from predators. Humans, we can yell and scream, we can fight, we have fists, we can fight off our predators. Plants don't have that same capacity. So what they have inherent within them are poisons. And so what has to happen for most vegetables out there is they need some preparation. They need to be cooked, or they need to be fermented or something along that line. So unfortunately, when people are eating raw cruciferous vegetables in particular, they're taking in too many of these types of poisons, and which can actually interfere with certain bodily functions. So you can take in, and these are long fancy words, you can take in things like phytic acid or trypsin inhibitors or goitrogens, and all of these chemicals, all of these poisons can actually hurt you, not help you. So you want to make sure a lot of your vegetables, not all of your vegetables, but most of your vegetables need some level of preparation.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, healthy living advocate, and author, joining me on the program this morning. We have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, Pam, I'm going to ask you, if we're eating too much of one thing, what is it we're not eating enough of? And I'm sure you'll provide us with the details. Mm-hmm. My name's Tom McConnell. You're listening to News Talk 610 CKTB.
Mother Earth!
10:20 is our time. Nutritional consultant, healthy living advocate, author, Pam Colleen joins me on the program today. All right, Pam, you were saying we have too much focus on plant-based foods.
That's right.
If we're too heavy on that side, what are we not getting enough of?
Well, that means we're not eating enough nutrient-dense foods like butter, meat, eggs, and so on. Unfortunately, these are the foods that have been clustered into a category where, you know, they've been heavily demonized over the last 50 to 60 years, and we have faithfully been listening to the advice to reduce our consumption of these foods, and it's really only been to our demise in terms of our physical and mental health. We need very key nutrients from these foods in order to maintain a healthy nervous system, for example. And, of course, over the last 50 to 100 years, as we have been reducing our consumption of these very nutrient-dense foods, we are far more mentally unstable today than we would have been prior to the demonization of these foods.
You know what's interesting? More and more research comes out, and I look at this from you come at it from a different angle than I come at it. And I come at it, my entry into this came at it from exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And how researchers are looking at what makes us fat is not dietary fat. What makes us fat is excess carbohydrates. And all the guys I read on the exercise side really try to manipulate their carbohydrates. And they're like, this is what's making us fat. It's carbohydrates. It's not dietary fat, which we demonized, as you said, you know, the butters and the eggs and the animal fats are not the enemy. This is what's been in our diet for a long time. Overconsumption of anything. If your diet was all butter and bacon, yeah, and you ate 8,000 calories a day, you're probably going to get fat. But from that side, from the exercise healthy body side, they see it almost, they came to it from a different angle than you did, and both came to the same conclusion, it seems.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of exercise, but it has to be done appropriately. And so excessive amounts of exercise, of course, can be very damaging to the body because our adrenal glands, which basically are the glands that sit on top of your kidneys, you know, they're your batteries. And when they start running out, you start running out, you know, both physically and emotionally. You know, you just got to keep those adrenal glands running properly. And, you know, historically, for over 99.5% of our history, we would have really pushed our adrenal glands very little. You know, we would have run away from a lion or a tiger, or we would have run to catch our prey. So we exerted ourselves for maybe 2 to 3 minutes at a time. And so we didn't really push and push and push. So all of this heavy, heavy exercise, I really discourage. The only people who can do those types of exercises are people who are extremely healthy to begin with, who don't have sleep problems, depression, anxiety, fatigue, mood disorders in general. So you have to be very sensitive to, you know, pushing those glands beyond their limits. Most people I work with, I only recommend things like yoga, tai chi, qigong, light walking, deep breathing, you know, because what I have to do with people when they have hit rock bottom with regards to their energy levels or their mental fatigue or what have you is, you know, they have no battery, they have no juice left in their battery, so they have got to just basically rest in order to resuscitate their adrenal glands. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, medical doctors aren't really trained to identify adrenal exhaustion or adrenal insufficiency because, you know, if more and more doctors could be trained to learn this, they too would be offering advice in the area of resting rather than pushing. And I, as you know, Tom, I had chronic fatigue for many, many years. I was disabled for about 12 years with chronic fatigue, and I made many, many mistakes the whole time I was sick in order to get myself well. And one of the mistakes I made was to do heavy, heavy exercise. You know, and that,
in your case, it seemed to be the exact wrong thing to do.
It was the wrong thing to do. And now I see it in hindsight, of course. But we, you know, back in the 90s, very, very little was known about adrenal dysfunction, adrenal insufficiency, and so on. And now today, of course, more is being written on the subject. So, yeah, you have to use a certain level of, you know, caution with exercise. You don't want to overdo it. If you're feeling things like, you know, depression, fatigue, anxiety, sleep problems, and so on, you want to probably lean more on the exercises that help you relax.
Well, in that vein, wouldn't it be, though, I mean, when we look at our modern society, okay, and you talk about going back to a diet before we had our modern society, because this is how we evolved. We had natural foods, organic foods, close to market foods. I mean, eggs didn't travel far. To you know, from farm to table wasn't that far. But don't we also have to look at going back to a way, not a way of life. I don't want everyone to be, you know, barrel makers or manual labor or anything like that. But we walked everywhere. We cleaned our clothes manually. We did a lot of things that required us to be up and somewhat active. And it required, and we didn't have modern conveniences like air conditioning. We didn't have modern conveniences like heating. Don't we have to almost compensate for this modern world that all the things that we do now, which are so convenient, getting in my car, turning on my air conditioner, watching television,
yeah,
I've got to compensate for that somehow.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking exercise in a moderate sense should be part of that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, yeah, a certain amount of movement is very, very healthy. You know, fresh air and sunshine, of course. We know through, you know, millennia that fresh air and sunshine is good for us. So, yes, you know, a certain amount of exercise is good. I mean, for example, Tom, I play tennis. I play competitively. But that's an anaerobic sport. I'm not pushing and pushing and pushing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Time.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a whole variety of exercises to choose from out there. You know, and all I'm saying is for people who have hit rock bottom with their energy levels, that they're the ones that need to recharge their batteries. And the way to do that, of course, is through resting.
Now, let me ask you finally before we go, when you give this idea that that the dietary information we have is up.
Students can increase their consumption of animal foods. When I have them increase their consumption of butter, eggs, red meat, even organ meats like liver, they will always come back to me and tell me they have more energy. They will always come back and tell me they feel better. So, you know, it's cause and effect. We have depleted these foods from our diet, and unfortunately, we are much sicker for it. So I think it only makes common sense that we reintroduce these foods into our diet and get over these phobias. It's what I call food phobias. And unfortunately, these are totally made up phobias by marketing groups and fraudulent science. And we have bought into it hook, line, and sinker, because these phobias, unfortunately, get repeated over and over and over again in the media. And because of the repetition, just the sheer repetition of these phobias, we believe them. And they're entrenched into our psyche. And so, unfortunately, I have to teach one person at a time. One person at a time has to get better following a traditional foods diet, eating 3 square meals a day the way we used to. And those are the people that will shine. Those are the people that will show others that these are the foods we need to return to in order to return to good health.
Pam Colleen, a pleasure. We'll talk again next week.
Yes, I'd love it. And just so people know, my book, Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic, is actually available at the Chapters at Fairview Mall.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So they still have copies on the shelf there if they want to go in.
And for more information on what we talked about today and so much more about nutritional balancing, and which we just scratched the surface on, I know, and for more information from Pam, go to our website, pamkilleen.com, PamKilleen.com. All the information's there, and hopefully we'll talk again next week at this time.
That would be wonderful, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pam. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, healthy living advocate, and author, joins us on the program. Quick break in the show. Back with more, including big news for Niagara Falls, New York. When we come back, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. What they say.